Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Tech Doctor Podcast. I'm here, as always, along with my good friend and colleague, Allison Hartley. Allison, how you doing?
I'm doing well. A lot has happened since I have come to you last. I have relocated to beautiful Napa, California. I am now a manager in my department's Napa office, and this means that I am unfortunately coming to you guys from a iPhone microphone. I apologize. I'm missing an essential cable for my Mac recording setup. So this is just kind of what you get for today. But I'm here. So
you
that's
are
good.
Here. And that's excellent. And I've been a bit sick for the last couple of weeks with back problems and virus and who knows what else. And so we've been a little bit on hiatus, I guess you could say, with moving and sickness and fall starting up and all the craziness that's going on around here. But we did definitely want to come online and talk a little bit about that September 7th event that Apple held, which brought us some new toys to play with.
Yeah, it was exciting. As far as keynotes go, I by no means did I find it disappointing. I know some of the tech pundits were disappointed, but I found it to be a good, solid, yet not earth-shattering keynote.
Yeah, I felt the same way about it. I think that people who expect something magical every time are going to be disappointed. I mean, Apple is a corporation announcing new products, and everyone knows that they are constantly iterating those products and moving them forward, but every year is just not going to be, you know, a brand new iPhone introduction is likely to be a one-in-a-lifetime event, so...
Right. It's a company staffed by humans, not superheroes.
Speaking of staffed by humans, not superheroes, it did start off in a bit of an unusual way with Tim Cook in a vehicle doing carpool karaoke. And I've got to say that I have huge respect for Tim and the way that he runs Apple, but if they need someone to do karaoke, they need to be talking to you. Because I saw you rock karaoke at MacStock.
Oh, thank you.
I think you could have done a much better job on Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, poor Tim. You know, I love him, but yeah, he should not quit his day job.
However, it was kind of cool, I thought, that they started off with something as different as that.
I thought it was neat, yeah, because they are going to be taking over carpool karaoke. I hear not with James Corden, although I hope that might change because I think James Corden has been a good host for that. But yeah, it was cool. It was a cool way to sort of introduce, like, hey, we're doing this new show. This is how it'll probably be under Apple, and it was cute. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly unexpected. So then I thought it was nice that in the introduction parts of the keynote, and we're not going to try to talk about every little thing that happened because I'm sure people have seen a lot of press coverage about what went on, especially if you're interested in that kind of thing. But that said, I thought it was interesting that Tim did take a little time to especially mention education. It sounds like, you know, they've got some real initiatives going on there in California in a couple of the school systems where they're providing as many as 50,000 students iPads. So I guess they're really trying to make some sort of dent into the Chromebook craze that has really hit schools everywhere.
Yeah, I think they're doing it for two reasons. They're doing it out of the goodness of their heart because Apple is good people, but they also are a business that recognizes that their main competition, at least in the education ecosphere, is Google products. So it behooves them to be as generous as they can be in order to make that dent.
Well, they're kind of in a funny spot because the Chromebooks are so much cheaper than the iPad. I don't see... you know, how they can really compete on that kind of playing field. But it sure does seem like, to me at least, that students would have the potential for being much more engaged, much more creative with an iPad than with a Chromebook.
I would agree. I especially liked, I don't know if it, I remember what it was called, the Anyone Can Code initiative, or a coding initiative that they have put in place that will teach students to code using the Swift Playgrounds program that's coming out in iOS 10. I like that because that means that literally anyone can code, including kids with disabilities, because thanks to one really ingenious young blind Apple engineer, the Swift Playgrounds program is going to be accessible to individuals who are voiceover users, and I imagine individuals with other disabilities as well.
Yeah, I think that's really great, and I'm excited that people are going to have that opportunity. I don't really know whether the Chromebooks are accessible with anything other than the Chromebox screen reader. Do you? I just haven't ever played with one, actually.
Not as far as I know. I've not really been curious enough to plunk down the couple hundred dollars that it would take to find that out for sure. But I know that my husband has done some Chrome testing, not necessarily on Chrome OS, but within Chrome itself using Chromebox, and it ain't much to write home about. It's really not.
Yeah. So that is one thing that's interesting to see. Apple has always had a presence in education, but can they keep it up? And can everyone find a way for the school systems to afford Apple products for students and teachers? And it's just going to be interesting to see how that evolves. It does seem like they're kind of making a move in that direction again. At least that's what it sounded like from the keynote.
It does. I hope it goes somewhere this time. I really do.
Yeah, I hope so too. So there were a few other things covered early on. I don't remember exactly what order or even exactly what all of them were. But one thing about this keynote, there were several mentions of games and mentions of things that really don't appeal to me and really aren't accessible necessarily. And that's kind of what you would expect from a keynote. But I don't recall anything that was terribly exciting for me in the early parts of it until we got to the products. Did you have anything along those early parts that you wanted to mention?
No, I mean, I think it's cool that they had the creator of Mario. That just upped the diversity representation on the stage. And I mean, he created Mario, so how awesome is that? But I'm sad because I would like to play Mario Run on the iPhone. And I mean, in all likelihood, I will not be able to, because anytime we have ever really tried to advocate for mainstream games, we've had some success. You know, the Xbox is becoming more accessible, but game developers really aren't getting on board for the most part, starting to change a little bit in making games accessible. So unfortunately, I don't think we'll be able to play Mario Run on the iPhone, and I'd really, really love to. So if anybody from Nintendo is listening, I'm willing to be a beta tester to see if we can make this work.
Yeah, I hope that the president of Nintendo just heard that and some big thing will happen. We'll have to wait and see.
You never know.
You never know. So I think let's just talk about the two main new product announcements that came along in this keynote. And I guess we might as well start with the new watch. They started out by talking about Watch OS 3 and some of the things that are going to be coming in there. And I haven't tried any of the betas, so I'm looking forward to iOS coming out along with Watch OS 3 on next Tuesday as we record this, which is, I believe, September 13th.
Yeah, I've had the iOS beta installed kind of off and on my two devices pretty much since the beginning. And it's been pretty stable from the beginning. There are a few bugs here and there, but there always are. Nothing to get too tied up in knots over, I don't think. iOS 10 Goldmaster is really good. I've not played with Watch OS. at this point. I'm interested in the new watch. I'd like to get it, but I have to sell my old one. And I'm selling my stainless steel Apple Watch 38 millimeters with Milanese loop, if anyone's interested, for $400 or best offer, because I'd like to get the sport edition next time around. I found the stainless steel to be a bit heavy. I like the Milanese loop, but I recognize that if I'm going to sell the watch, I kind of have to sell a band along with it to make it worth it.
Yeah, I understand. And that's the only band you have, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I can always get it. I can always get another down the road if I wanted to.
Yeah. I like the Milanese loop too. So if anyone is interested in Allison's Apple Watch, just drop us an email and we'll leave that email address at the end of the podcast, as we almost always do. So then they moved on to announce Watch Series 2, and kind of curious to get your thoughts on what you think of it, or is it what you had hoped might be going on in the next series of Watch, or what are your feelings about it?
Yeah, I don't really care about the addition of GPS because I always have my phone and my watch when I'm out and about. However, I recognize that for some people, they like to take walks or do various exercise activities without their phone nearby. So I think it's a good feature. It's not something that I'm going to get too excited about. What really excites me is the new processor. From everything that I have heard, the current Apple Watch runs a lot better with the new watchOS 3. So I can only imagine how much better it will run with the addition of a new processor. So I'm really excited, and that's mainly the reason. Well, two reasons. I want to downgrade, as it were, to the sport model, if you can call it that. I don't see it that way. I want to get the sport model, and I want to get the benefit of the new processor as well.
I think they were saying that new processor is about twice the speed of the original one. Is that what they were?
Something like that, 150% or 200%. It's significantly faster.
Uh-huh.
I have a feeling that a lot of the latency issues that in some cases keep me from using the watch will be solved for this new processor. Although I have heard great things about watchOS 3 running on the current model Apple Watch. So either way, I don't think it's going to be much of an issue anymore.
Yeah, so if you don't sell yours right away, I guess you might try installing watchOS 3.
I will, and eventually, you know, when we recover a little bit from this move, I'm probably just going to get impatient whether I sell it or not and buy the new one.
Well, if you're not really that interested in GPS, they've done a really interesting thing with the original watch. They are upgrading the processor in it, and they're going to be selling it for quite a good price of $269. So you might even consider that option.
Yeah, although for me personally, and I realize that everybody has different financial needs, but if I'm going to pay $269 for last year's model with the upgraded processor, I'm just going to pay $369 for the newest model.
All right. I won't argue with that. But for someone who doesn't have the $369 or who wants to get into the Apple Watch just to see how you like it and how much use you can get out of it, I'm pleased to see them not only offering last year's watch at that price, but I'm really happy that they did an upgrade to it.
Yeah, that's really exciting, and it's different, and that's innovative, and I think that's courageous. We'll get to courage later, but I think that's real courage on Apple's part to be able to allow people, you know, the option of getting a slightly better bump up without having to pay the full price for the brand new model. I really like that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know exactly what the differences are. You know, I had the impression that almost everything having to do with the watch is virtually on one chip, so I'm not quite sure how they're able to upgrade the processor in the original watch without GPS being there, but they didn't go into that level of detail, so we just don't know.
Yeah, it would be interesting to find out someday. Maybe one day there'll be like a long form article explaining it all. A rare interview with Johnny.
Yes, I love those interviews, even though I don't
Me
understand
too.
about half of what he says.
Yeah.
So it is interesting to me that they dropped the name sport. They don't call it sport watch anymore. They just call the aluminum version that they were calling sports, they now just call it Apple Watch. So that's kind of interesting. Apple Watch Series 2. And I guess now, I don't know, what the original one is going to be called. I guess it's Series 1.
Yeah.
And I guess what we had last year was Series 0,
Yeah.
huh? Okay.
We had
So,
beta 2 or something.
yeah,
A
it did almost feel like a beta at times. And
little bit.
there were some of us who really kind of got into it. I wear mine every day, but there were also a lot of people like you who kind of lost interest in it for a while.
Yeah,
So,
the performance issues really got to me after a while.
yeah, but it sounds like from what you're saying, your interest has been rekindled at least to some
Yes.
degree.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, at least as if we're taking a survey of one here, Apple must have done enough right in this new hardware to make you want to take a second look at it.
Yeah, I think that I will be able to use it realistically in my life and world for its intended purpose, especially now that I'm walking distance to work, walking distance to a bunch of different restaurants. I want to really be able to wear it every day and track my steps and my calories and everything.
Well, that was certainly the emphasis on Series 2. It seems like, at least from my reading on it, Apple has really decided to focus in hard on the watch being a sports-oriented or fitness-oriented device. That was certainly the impression I had.
Yeah, I like how it uses the vibration of the speaker to expel water and moisture to keep it from getting all. Sometimes when it would get wet, the speaker would get a little bit, you couldn't really hear. You had to wait for it to dry out with the first Apple Watch. But it seems like that's not going to be an issue this time around if you or having an intense workout and you sweat, or even if you get some water, when you're swimming. I like that they've developed a whole set of workouts for swimmers so that you can swim with the watch. I know sometimes my speaker would go a little bit wonky even if I was washing my hands, if it would get too wet.
Okay, yeah, I've never gotten mine wet enough to have that happen, but I've heard other people say that as well. But yeah, what they did was they really doubled down on making Series 2 very water resistant. You can swim with it now, and I think it has a resistance rating of, is it up to 50 meters, I believe is what it is.
Something like that. So in theory, I don't know how far down you go when you scuba dive because I've never done it, but in theory, you could even scuba dive with it.
Yeah, I guess you could. And it is what you were referring to was honestly one of the coolest innovative things that I saw with the speaker being able to eject the water. And the way that's going to work is when you are in the water, the watch automatically shuts down the screen and locks itself because you really can't use it in the
Yeah.
water anyway. But then when you get out of the water and you're ready to turn it back on, you
Oh,
simply
yeah.
turn the digital crown and it really vibrates the speaker hard enough to eject whatever water was in there. And so I'm thinking, if I get this thing, I'll have a ready-made squirt gun there. But anyway, it is just the kind of little innovations that Apple comes up with. I thought it was fun when they started
I
talking
thought
about
so
that.
too. Yeah, I like it.
And since it is going to be programmed to really help you track your swimming, even to be able to adjust to how you do the various strokes and be able to figure out what kind of calorie count you're burning doing that. I guess for swimmers, you know, it'll be really great, as well as for people who do all kinds of walking and running and other exercises. Yeah. And as far as running goes, they've partnered with Nike to create another version of the watch that I believe is going to run some special apps, special software unique to the things that runners do. And it seems like that probably will be a good partnership.
I think so. It's interesting. The Nike watch is the same price as the aluminum watch. I don't think I'll get it because I'm not a runner, but it's cool that they are opening up themselves and their ideas a little bit more about partnering with different companies. I know they always, to some extent, partnered with Nike, but this is on a very different level.
Well, I know you don't consider yourself a runner, but I pretty much had to run to keep up with you and Gary, so maybe I should get the Nike watch just for the times that I'm trying to walk with you.
That's true. We don't so much walk to work as we jog.
Exactly.
He's sleeping, so
that's my point. You all move out pretty fast, but I wouldn't be interested in the Nike one either. And I guess so. As I understand it, the Apple Watch now, the price is basically going to be $369 for the 38. $399 for the 42, but then if you move up to the stainless steel, you're up in the $500 range.
Yep.
And they apparently have changed the Apple Watch edition. They've moved from using gold to using ceramic,
and now it's about $1,200 or $1,300, which is still a ridiculous amount of money to pay. But it's not as ridiculous as the Apple Watch edition. I really think that was a huge misstep on Apple's part. I know that they were kind of experimenting, trying to get into the world of fashion, but it just seemed really silly and elitist, actually.
I'd love to know how many they sold.
Probably not many.
That would be interesting. And I kind of think I read or heard somewhere, and I don't know the source now, so I can't remember whether it's just kind of rumor or if there was any facts behind it, but I think it's possible that Johnny Ives really wanted to design a gold luxury watch, and I think he did. But ceramic sounds like it's a lot more reasonable, and I've heard a couple watch-oriented people say that they love their ceramic watches, and they hold up really well. But that's not the watch for me.
No, nor for me. If you have a grand and a half to spend on a really nice watch, then go for it. But I won't be getting one of those anytime soon.
Yeah. So I think that my plan is to first try watchOS 3 on my current original Apple Watch and see how I like it, see how much difference it makes. Because I just don't know at this point whether I really am going to invest in Series 2. I might hold off until Series 3. On the other hand, I could pass my original watch down to a family member, probably my son, and could enjoy Series 2. So, but I'm not certain enough that I'm going to do that I've ordered it at this point.
Yeah, I go back and forth. I don't know what I'm ultimately going to do. If I can sell this one, then it's a no-brainer. But if I can't, then I just don't know if I need to make that investment without getting rid of the first one.
Right. Well, we'll know more after we spend a week with watchOS 3.
Yeah.
We'll be able to see just how much of a difference it makes. And I've heard people who were pretty skeptical. I remember hearing David Sparks talk about how he just went ahead and installed the beta and watchOS 3 as soon as he was able to download them, just because he couldn't believe that what they were saying at WWDC was really true, that it was that much better. But he's found that it was. So I think we're in for a pleasant surprise.
I think so, too.
So that pretty well covers it for the watch. I mean, I'm happy with the way it's progressing, and I think we'll see likely another one next year. I kind of think they're going to keep moving forward on this. I don't have any inside information, but that's my guess.
Yeah, I hope so, because there's a lot they can do with it, not only making it faster, but potentially adding eventually, when the technology is ready, cellular technology so that you can use it completely independently of the phone. I think that's probably going to be the next logical step now that they've implemented the GPS.
I think there are a lot of people who like that idea and the Dick Tracy watch and, you know, independent from your phone, but it'll be interesting to see what they work out with the carriers. A lot of us aren't going to be crazy about adding an additional fee onto our phone bills for another device. And, you know, the carriers aren't going to give us anything for free. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be. I know that I'm going way out into the weeds of speculation and going down this path, but I still hope that, you know, occasionally you hear a rumor about Apple starting its own carrier to challenge all of the existing carriers. I would be 100% on board with that, because I can't wait to ditch Verizon.
Oh, well, that sounds like there's a story coming when we talk about iPhone 7, which we're about to get to here.
Yeah.
You and Verizon and iPhone 7? Sounds interesting. So they did call it iPhone 7, and there are the two models like we've had before, the regular 4.7 and the 5.5 inch plus, and it's similar, almost identical in design to last year's, except the antennas have been moved and apparently are less visual on the phone. There's a change in the home button, and there's something missing.
There is, and what's missing is the traditional headphone jack, and I am of several minds on this issue.
Ooh.
Yes, not just two.
All right.
It's a complex issue. Firstly, there's no denying that we are a society that's moving more towards wireless technology, and if not wireless, at least more high-end audio tech. I'm glad that they're going to be including Lightning EarPods in the box. I'm glad that they're going to be including an adapter to go from Lightning to 3.5 mil. I'm glad that they're keeping the Lightning to 3.5 mil adapters inexpensive at $9.95 in case you need to buy multiple ones, as I probably will. I was a little bit concerned because a lot of people, myself included, sometimes use the iPhone when they're charging it and using wired headphones to listen to music. So that was going to be a bit of a problem. But fortunately, the third-party market has solved that. Belkin is coming out with an accessory that essentially has two female Lightning ports on it. So you plug the male end of this three-pronged accessory. I've not seen it, but I imagine it's kind of a splitter that has one end with a male Lightning port that you plug into the phone, and then an end with two female Lightning ports. And you plug your Lightning to 3.5 mil adapter into one end, and then you can plug your phone's male Lightning into the other to charge. It is $40, so it's not inexpensive for what it does. But anything that's made for Apple MFI certified is going to be a little bit more expensive because of the licensing fees that they have to pay. So I understand that. I'll probably be getting one of those for Jeremy and I. An issue, though, that has been discussed among deafblind individuals, though, is how this is going to affect people who use voiceover and hearing aids with an analog aux cord. Because a lot of people choose, because of the delays inherent in Bluetooth, to plug their hearing aids into their phone via a traditional headphone type cable to hear the phone right in their hearing aids. Luckily, the Lightning to 3.5 millimeter does largely seem like it will solve this, as will the Belkin adapter that allows people to listen and charge at the same time. So, but I understand that the frustration that a lot of people feel with regards to this. And I'm glad that at least with the addition of this dongle, it's unfortunate again that it's so expensive, but at least it will be a solution for everybody that'll work for everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure people who really have to have that charging and listening at the same time would be frustrated about having to spend that extra money. You can also accomplish that with the Apple dock, which I have one, the Apple Lightning dock.
Yeah, I have one too.
Because it will allow you to plug a Lightning cable in for charging and a 3.5 headphone plug. I actually don't use headphones. I have my Bose radio plugged into it, but it's the same idea. And so that's another solution in a situation where it's going to be fixed, like by your bed or by your favorite chair or whatever, but it's not a great solution for being out and about. And I'm sure it's a bit frustrating for people to have to carry more dongles or more cables around. So I get it. I get the frustration, but I'm also not surprised that Apple decided they needed the space inside the phone that jack was taking up for other things. And I'm really not surprised that they decided to push on this maybe a little ahead of what some people would have liked. But I know human beings, and we're not so great with change, a lot of us. And I don't think people would have liked it any better if they'd waited until next year, honestly.
No, I don't think so either. Another thing to keep in mind is that the analog audio jack is 100-year-old technology. So if we're going to move forward, now is the time, keeping in mind that the market is going to solve any of the problems of the fallout that come from this decision. But you're right. I don't think people would have been happy at any time when this had happened. So I guess it may as well be now.
Well, it was leaked several months ago that this was
right.
Very likely to happen, or at least it became a very possible likelihood in terms of the rumors and all. And so, honestly, maybe I just haven't been reading the right blogs, but I've heard, at least so far, less negative reaction to this than I thought I would. And, of course, people don't yet have their phones, so maybe we'll hear more when they have them in their hands. But it hasn't been quite the big firestorm that I thought it might be, honestly.
No, I think it is a big change. You know, that's you know, they called it courageous. I think that might have been a little bit over the top in Apple's description of choosing to make this decision. It was definitely bold. When I think of courage, I don't necessarily think of removing a piece of technology from a device and moving forward to new technology. You might disagree with me on that, but it just seemed a little bit silly. But
well, could have chosen another word, but
yeah.
But I think the point really is that they're willing to take the initial heat, the displeasure of people. They understand that's going to be part of it, but they just see that as part of doing business if you're really going to innovate and move forward. And I think that was kind of where he was going with, yeah, we know it's going to take some courage to get through this. But, you know, I mean, I don't have any real issues and other than it's perhaps a bit of inconvenience in some ways. I do use wired headphones a lot. And as you explained, they are going to include that $9 adapter in the box, along with a pair of headphones, as they always do. But the new headphones are going to have a Lightning connector instead of the 3.5 connector. So, you know, I think they have done their best to try to make it as painless for most people as possible? I mean, people were speculating, will you have to buy the adapter? Will they include any headphones that will work right out of the box? On and on and on. And then on the flip side, some other people had said, oh, it wouldn't be good for Apple to do that because then they'll be admitting that they shouldn't have gotten rid of the headphone jack if they include a way to use the old way. And all, you know, there's so much chatter out there, so much talk, but I really think it's about them seeing this as a way to move forward.
I agree. And looking at this from the perspective of an audiophile, I'm interested to see how much better the audio quality is when you listen to headphones through the Lightning port.
Yeah, I am too. It's going to be interesting for us to have that experience. And that's frankly going to be one of the exciting things about the new phone. I love it when we get to really start exploring a new way to do something or a new technology that they're moving forward. Apple taught me a long time ago not to hold on to the past, but always, even if I'm a little frustrated, expect to be pushed a little bit. And this is just more of the same.
Right. And ultimately, change is hard, but we get used to it. I mean, when the 30-pin connector went away, I mean, everybody flipped out. But now Lightning is the new accepted standard, and in general, most people prefer it. So I think this is just another one of those little speed bumps that we'll have to go over in the road towards better technology.
So they're also interested in really moving the wireless technology forward with their new AirPods. And this looks like some pretty interesting technology. They've developed a new wireless chip in these AirPods. And the AirPods, for people who don't know, look very much like the wired EarPods that come with the phones. They just don't have any wires. Each one of them is separate, and they come in a little carrying case that is also a charger for them. It has a battery built into it. And when you open the case and it's near your phone, the AirPods will just automatically connect. And then with your iCloud identification, they will then be immediately ready to connect to all of your other devices whenever you choose the other device. So I think it's kind of innovative, really. It sounds a lot like Apple to me, what they're going to offer here.
I'm very excited by the idea of this. Now, I think in generation one, I mean, they are still, as far as I know, using the regular Bluetooth. Now we're up to, 4.1 protocol, which still introduces that latency when using VoiceOver that I talked about. So that's going to be a little bit unfortunate. But I think in the 10th anniversary iPhone, we might see either, you know, an update. We're probably going to see new AirPods in a year. And they will probably take advantage of the Bluetooth 5, which will be a lot faster and have greater range. But I'm still interested to see generation one, you know, how far they can push this technology and what they can do with it.
Well, the latency issue, in my experience, completely depends on which Bluetooth headphones you use. I get almost no latency with VoiceOver using the latest version of the Aftershocks titanium headphones. I get very little, almost no latency with a couple of my Bose wireless headphones. But I've seen some headphones that do exhibit more latency with VoiceOver. So we just won't know, really, in my opinion, until we try the AirPods, how they're going to perform with VoiceOver.
Right. And then I, using my Bose, the Bose SoundLink 2 headphones, I believe I have the latest version of the SoundLink line, get pretty tremendous latency, particularly when I'm typing. It almost is to the point where I have to turn my headphones off if I'm not going to dictate or use Braille screen input. If I'm going to type using the conventional keyboard, I have to turn my headphones off, type, and then turn them on. That's how bad the latency is for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an example of where it's a real problem. So,
yeah, it's not consistent.
We will see how that goes. I'm going to get a pair of them. I do think it's interesting. EarPods seem like they work well for some people. For me, I'm just lucky they stay in my ears. They're comfortable. I don't have any problem with them. But some people just can't keep them in their ears.
There are only two models of earbud that can fit in my ears. They're the little ones that are like corks that just kind of pop in your ear. And then the EarPods. They're the only two models that stay in my ear. Any other type of earbud I cannot fit in my ear. And so I will try them with the assumption that they will probably fit in my ears because the wired ones that I have now do.
Yeah. So these AirPods are going to be out sometime late October, we were told. I believe they're going to cost $159. And
yeah,
that's about typical, or even maybe a little bit on the low end for these new generation wireless earbuds that are currently coming onto the market. And if you're an Apple person who has multiple Apple devices with this new chip, you're certainly going to get more bang for your buck, in my opinion, with these AirPods than you are with these other Bluetooth earpieces that are not specifically tuned up for Apple devices. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying them.
They only get about 5 hours on a charge, but if you put them in their case, it only takes a few minutes to add 3 or 4 more hours back to the charge. So, you know, they're not going to work for somebody who needs to wear them 8 hours a day without any breaks, but I was thinking a lot about that, and I use headphones a lot, but I do take breaks, hour or two breaks, where I'm busy working with clients or in a meeting or having lunch or doing other things. So there, I think for me, there's going to be sufficient time to keep them charged up, I suspect.
I think so, too. And I have multiple pairs of headphones. I have multiple wireless pairs of headphones and multiple wired pairs of headphones. So I think either way, I'll be okay.
Yeah, I think so. So I'm glad to see it move forward. They have all kinds of accelerometers and technology built into these tiny little earpieces, and so they've really, really teched them out, and it's going to be interesting to see how all that works.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Certainly getting rid of the headphone jack and what that's going to mean for us is interesting about the phone. I'm intrigued by the new virtual home button that we're going to have, which is no longer going to be a moving button, but a button that you're going to get feedback when you press it from the haptic engine. So that's going to be interesting to see how we like that and how that works.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that because in enabling a haptic engine for the home button, they've opened it up to all different kinds of uses, and I'll be interested to see what those uses are. We won't really know until we've got it in our hands.
It is interesting that the hardware for that haptic engine seems to pretty much be located where the old headphone jack used to be.
Isn't that amazing?
Kind of interesting.
It's almost like they had a planned reason as to why they were removing the headphone jack.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard a few people say, but Apple has not said that.
Yeah.
They're not using that really as one of the reasons, but we know they needed space. And and one thing that they've done, I think, with a little more space is they've really added additional sound volume to the phone, as well as given us stereo speakers, one on the bottom and one near the top.
That's going to be really cool because Jeremy and I like to listen to a lot of things together. And we like using the Sonos and we like using any of the other little speakers and gadgets we have around the house. But sometimes if we're just laying in bed listening to something, we like to have a nice little speaker. And it'll be nice to just be able to have the phone next to us and listen at a decent volume and with decent quality.
Yeah, it'll make it a lot more convenient. You won't have to connect something else.
We won't have to cuddle with the jam box.
That's right. Leave that jam box alone. So the phones, I was surprised, honestly, not that we were able to pre-order them on early Friday morning, only 2 days after the event, but I was really surprised that they're going to start arriving on next Friday the 16th. So that's pretty fast turnaround.
Yeah, some lucky people are going to get them on the 16th. I was because I'm on the Verizon Edge program, I had to order through Verizon. And by the time the Verizon site stopped messing around, the earliest I could get a delivery for just the general black version, not the new jet black, but just the there's the Apple black and then there's just black, whatever the old space gray used to be, was the one that was going to deliver the soonest. And for me, that is the 23rd. I am going to call my local Verizon store on launch day and see if they have any in stock. That's what I did last year. And I was able to cancel my old order and get it on launch day anyway. But of course, I had to go down to the store. Now this year, Jeremy and I will both have to do that. So it'll be a little inconvenient, but there's every likelihood that we might get, you know, I don't even care about the color. We might just get whatever they have. Did you pre-order?
I did, but I have a delayed date too, but it's really my own fault. I am not going to be in town next Friday to receive it. There were plenty available when I was online to be delivered on the 16th, but since I'm not going to be here, my hope was that I would be able to just have it instead available for me to pick up at the Apple store in Austin, where we're going to be. But interestingly enough, the models that I wanted were available to be delivered to my house on the 16th, but they weren't available to be picked up in the Apple store.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
So that was a bit frustrating, and I kept switching around different colors, trying to see if any color, because like you, I didn't really care that much what color. I just wanted a phone, and I wanted to pick it up in Austin, but I was limited to one store because we're going to be really busy while we're there and don't have time to go to the store that's further away. And so the one store that I was limited to, just either they sold what was going to be available for people to pick up really fast, or they just didn't have much for whatever reason. So poor me, it didn't work out. And by the time I did all that and came back to realizing I was going to have it shipped to me, I got not quite the same thing you got, same color. I got the regular black, but I stayed with the 128 gig and you went with the 256.
I got the 256
gig.
Yeah.
And so if I had done what you did and gone to the 256, I could have gotten it on the 23rd. But right now, it looks like I'm going to get it the first week of October.
Oh, you might want to do what I'm going to do. You might want to call the Apple store near where you're going to be, or even your carrier store, and see if they have any in stock on that day.
Yeah, if we have any time, I might do that. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, I don't have to have it next Friday. I'm going to be busy with the new iOS and the new watchOS and Sierra.
That's the thing. I'm going to be out of town, actually back in our old town, Santa Rosa, for Thursday and most of Friday. So when I do call the Napa Verizon store, it's going to have to be after I'm home in the evening. So I hope that won't be too late.
Right. Yeah. I had an interesting thing happen, and I won't go into great detail, but just want to say enough about it. So if other people encounter this, after I got my order all done and everything was complete, and with AT&T, you are able to order through the Apple app, Apple Store app.
Mm.
And after that was all done, I got up the next morning and I had an email that said that I needed to do some more steps to complete my iPhone reservation. And it appeared to be coming from Apple, but it was hard to tell for sure. And I'd never seen an email like that before in all the years I've been ordering iPhones. So I thought, well, I better check with Apple. So I went online and looked at my account, and the order was just as I had left it. It was, you know, everything was fine. And so I decided to call Apple sales, which, believe me, trust me, you never, ever, ever want to do this on iPhone launch day. You do not. So I was on hold for about an hour, didn't get to speak to anyone. Called back later, was on hold for 4 hours, get to speak to anyone, and then did another hour and a half in the evening, didn't get to speak to anyone.
Oh, no.
So I spent my day on Friday on hold. I talked to AT&T, and they said they thought it was a scam of some sort. But I finally got someone from Apple sales this morning, and turns out it wasn't a scam. It's just that because I had switched back and forth between looking at store pickup and then ultimately choosing to have it shipped to me, the system got, you might say, a little confused, and it was trying. It said it was shipping it to me, but it also wanted me to set up a reservation to pick one up in the store. And so that's really what was going on.
Okay.
And I had to get that straightened out because the email said, if you don't set up this reservation, we'll cancel the order. And I didn't want that to happen.
No.
So that's just something people might watch out for if you play with possibly picking up in store. The system can get a little confused, and I think it's all straightened out now.
Oh, good.
But it was an interesting, you know, it made this whole iPhone launch period a little bit odd for me.
Yeah, it was a little stressful. I started on, I first tried to do it through the Apple Store app, and it only gave me the option of paying outright for the phone using the iPhone Forever program, which means I still would have had to pay Verizon about $400 to pay off my current leased 6S Plus, or paying the contract price of $599, which I also didn't want to do. And then I was having all kinds of problems on the Verizon mobile app / website that it redirects you to for pre-ordering the iPhone. Eventually, though, I was able to go on my Mac to the desktop site, and then I was able to get the order placed there. Part of me is wondering if I had just done that from the beginning, if I would have had a 16th pickup time. Although when I placed an order for my Apple Watch about 15 months ago, it initially gave me a later delivery period, and then I ended up getting it on launch day anyway. So hope springs eternal, and I have a backup plan just in case. So.
Right, and I'm hoping that doesn't happen to me because I won't be here on launch day.
Right.
But I was surprised how quickly that date got out to the first, I think my date is October 4th, something like that. I was surprised how quickly it got out to that. Now, I didn't honestly really think of upping it to the 256 gig, but if I had, I'm sure I could have gotten it sooner.
Yeah, I was a little frustrated because if I wanted the 7 instead of the 7 Plus, I could have gotten it on the 16th. But yeah. I really want that dual camera, and I really want the extra battery.
Well, we've just grown accustomed to these Plus phones.
Yeah.
And I like them better for Braille screen input.
Me too. I've really become a fan of Braille screen input.
Supposedly it works a lot better in iOS 10.
It works pretty well. I still find myself when I'm in situations where I can do it using dictation, but I have really taken the time to learn to get good at Braille screen input so that I can use it when it's not appropriate to do dictation.
Well, good. So it, you know, it's just so fascinating to me every time we go through one of these iPhone launches and we go through the new stuff that's coming along, and people can say what they want, you know, about maybe it all getting a little boring, and I'm sure it is for some people, but one of the things that I personally love most about Apple is how excited I feel about it. And maybe that's just me, you know, but I mean, this is really fun for me. I just enjoy it.
Me too. It is like a holiday for me.
Yeah.
Always, every time. And here, look, we didn't think that we would have as much to talk about this time around, and we've done a fairly lengthy podcast.
Right. Because I think mostly it's because we start talking about it and we realize that we feel passion for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just the fact that that brings some real pleasure into our lives is not something that Apple talks that much about in that way. Of course, they say they want their customers to be thrilled with their products and all that. But I mean, that's just one cool side benefit of how much fun we have exploring this new technology as it comes out.
And it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah, it keeps getting better. So I think that's about all I have to say about this event and about the order process. Now it's just a matter of getting the new software installed and the new hardware going. Oh, one thing I did want to mention to people before we close is for those of you who have the Apple Watch and you're getting a new phone, be sure to unpair your Apple Watch from your old phone before you disable your old phone. And after you've unpaired the Apple Watch, be sure to make a backup of your old phone so that your watch settings will get transferred over to the new phone and then back to the watch when you set up your new phone.
Yeah, it's a little cumbersome, but it's worth the extra little tiny bit of extra time it takes, because I made that mistake of not doing it last year and it was a disaster.
Well, you end up setting up your watch from scratch.
Yeah. If you don't, so annoyed.
Yeah. And you know, that's doable. It's just not as convenient.
Not fun.
Not fun. Yeah. So another good event, and I want us to come back soon and explore how it's going with the new phones and with the new iOS and with the new watch OS. We got a lot to talk about the next few weeks, I think.
I think so too.
All right. Well, this has been fun. Thanks for finding a little time to do this on a Saturday evening. I'm glad we got it done.
Me too. No, this is one of the great, great joys of my life is doing this podcast. So I'm very excited.
Excellent. So just in case there are 300 or 400 people who would love to buy your Apple Watch, how might they go about getting in touch with us so that you can get that email and respond to them?
Well, they could send an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor@dr-carter.com. If you want to get in touch with me directly regarding the Apple Watch, you can send an email to ahartley12@icloud.com. That's ahartley12@icloud.com. You can get a hold of me on Twitter @AppleAlley. That's Apple, A-L-L-I.
Fabulous. All right, everybody, we'll be back before long with more on Apple-y stuff. But in the meantime, you all take care of yourselves. This is Robert, one of the tech doctors, saying so long for now.
And this is Allison, the other tech doctor, saying bye, everyone.